title of my sermon, very first, is titled Promises for Endurance. You are perceptive and observe everything around you. You will see the decline of our society as we live in it now. You watch television and see the programming on the networks and cable. You become very weary of the garbage that is constantly forced for everyone to watch. Even the news or the news-like chat shows in the morning have very little in actual news and is more about self-promotion and entertainment as never before, and it just gets worse. When the news is actually given, it is usually very hard to watch and assimilate. You see more wars becoming fiercer and bloodier with higher body counts. You see scores of people in mass graves. The actual death of some pictured in all areas of communication, including the internet. You see disease epidemics growing with higher and higher body counts, with thousands more infected already or soon to be infected. And as a result, you wait with further anticipation the convergence of disease organisms to create more death and destruction at a more ferocious escalation. You see weather in all parts of the world, in parts of the earth, wreaking havoc with more devastation, greater force than ever witnessed before. More landslides and earthquakes are becoming commonplace with greater devastation and more death fatalities as a result. Yet, people still continue to carry on with their own life as nothing has touched them directly. As a direct result of this attitude in this society, people become numb and care less about such things going on in other parts of the world. This nation continues to live life to the fullest without regard to others. They become lovers of self rather than lovers of God and of righteousness and justice. The basic tenets and laws of this nation are becoming changed as to cause or force upon many in how to think, say, and do that which is unseemly. This is unfortunately does affect every one of us here. Some are reading their Bibles as they ought to, and others are learning or fitting in as does society around us lives. Some are turning to God as they should and are filling their minds with what is real, that is the Word of God. And this is and has been the state of mankind and society around us as we have been taught and warned about. We have been taught to recognize trends, to become more aware so that we are not polluted by the downward pull of this world around us. As each day is lived, we become tired, weary of living life the right way we have been taught to live. It's easy to get discouraged, and once completely discouraged, to give up, and then as a consequence of our choices, fall short of the calling once delivered to us. We can become frightened and terrified in how events that we observe are moving in a steady and faster pace. Fear is a natural occurrence in a fearful situation. And apathy is just as dangerous to our salvation from this world too. How we internalize all that is happening around us can set us off course if we allow it to. We can have the hope and the assurance that God the Father gives us through His Son, Jesus the Christ, who is Savior of mankind. God knows His people, who His people are, and is very interested in their safety and most especially their concern or emotional state of mind. There are specific promises that God has given us, all of mankind, that we need to keep in remembrance in our minds so that we cannot get dislodged from our course in God's great plan of salvation for all of humanity. Again, I have stated before, you are the children of God, and as such, the world places their hope in Christ and also in every one of you. For your choice to follow through in living the life that is meant for all humanity to live. Their hope lies in your responsibility to continue in the way that produces life ever living. Giving hope to the hopeless, courage to the discouraged. They depend on your example to them as you live to show them the things that God has put in store for them as well. Your life as you know it to be, as you know it to be, is not your own, but God's to use to help many others into the glory that waits for them as well when it's their turn. You must lead the way to endure as God expects you to live. Today, I want to examine some of the many promises that God gives us, hope, and to solidify our faith in what God is preparing for us to do. So where do we begin? Point one. God is peace, and His mind defines peace for us. Let's look to John to help in the process to solidify our hearts and our focus. I read from God's Word Translation, John 14:1. Specifically, he states, "Don't be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in me." Christ can be very direct in the words that he uses. It is simple. It is peaceful to those that choose to believe in what he says. In this choice to believe in God, you begin towards the calming of your emotions. Through reading His Word, it solidifies your belief and your faith in Him who have chosen to trust your life that creates life everlasting. This is the basis of our understanding and the growth of our faith that provides the focus to endure. This concept is also recognized and reemphasized again in John 14:27. I read from the NET translation, the NET Bible translation. States, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give it to the world as the world does. Do not let your hearts be distressed or lacking courage." This is the second time that Christ tells us to basically chill out. Christ left with us His Spirit of peace to give us peace, the assurance of what He says will happen, and it will be done by Him who loves us most dearestly, tenderly. With this as the basis of our faith in Christ and His promises that He gives us, the hope we need to push through our doubt and despair of this dying planet around us, let us eagerly move forward through this inspired word of peace and calm our emotions and lay our focus strictly on Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our salvation from this human mess that we call living in this world and or society. Another scripture I want to point out here is to solidify the journey that we're taking here. And this is especially important for you young people as well, as one of the scriptures that is mentioned in the lessons that you're working on. 1 Corinthians 14:33, and I read from the Jubilee Bible translation. For God is not the God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations. The Greek word for called out ones is ecclesia. For God is not the God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the saints. God promotes peace and is of peace. He is the embodiment of peace. That's why he gives us these words for us to fill our minds, to infill our hearts. His mind is the embodiment of complete peace. When we keep this in the foremost of our minds, there is no need to worry or be confused about the challenges that we face around us or what we're dealing with currently. Just believe what God says. He's very direct, and it's plain, simple English. Point two, obedience to God needs to continue in our lives. Let's go back now and look in history as we do to read these promises, some of which are direct commands. Turn to Deuteronomy 28:1, and I read from the American King James Version. And it shall come to pass, if you shall listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. The sister scripture to this is Deuteronomy 26:19. Then he will place you high above all the other nations he has made. He will give you praise, fame, and honor, and you will be a people holy to the Lord your God as he promised. The basis for receiving the promises of God is to be obediently careful to observe all of that God says. If careful adherence to obedience is done, then God will do as he has promised. It's as simple as that. This is the prerequisite in the acquisition of the promises that God gives us. Now let's go further in our journey through more scriptures. Next scripture dovetails with the other previous two. And again, this story is an example for us to be diligent in seeking God in obedience to him and in the manner he will do so much more for each and every one of us. I read from the New American Standard, 2 Chronicles 15, and I read from verses 1 through 7. Now the Spirit of God came on Azariah, the son of Obed, and went out to meet Asa and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. And if you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For many days, Israel was without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord God of Israel and they sought him and he let them find him. In those times, there was no peace to him who went out or to him who came in. For many disturbances afflicted all the inhabitants of the lands. Nation was crushed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every kind of distress. But you, Asa, be strong and do not lose courage, for there is reward for your work. King Asa, once he was established as king of Israel, made many reforms within his reign. And as a result, God backed him up and blessed his efforts, and he obediently sought God and adhered to his commands. God fulfilled his promise to Asa. Point three. Patience is required to wait for God. Next in the line and thought of scripture from the Old Testament is the whole of Psalm 37. That section, that whole psalm is entitled Security of Those Who Trust in the Lord and Insecurity of the Wicked. I read from the New American Standard. Psalm 37, I'm only going to touch on verses 7 and 9. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes, for evildoers will be cut off. But those that wait on the Lord, they will inherit the land. The whole chapter of Psalm 37 reads that God will look after his own, and he will bless and keep them safely so that they can prosper in peace. Again, Psalm 37 points out in verses 32 and 33, the wicked spies upon the righteous and seeks to kill him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand or let him be condemned when he is judged. I've got homework here for you. I want you to read the whole of Psalm 37. And if you can, choose a translation that works for you. Choosing a translation that works best for you will help you understand the meaning, the context, and especially the emotion that God gives you through his scripture. Once you've chosen a translation, go back to a more accurate translation. Going back between translations helps you to see what God is trying to talk and say to you and solidify your focus. You'll have greater wisdom and understanding, especially in the time when you need to read his word for encouragement in a discouraging situation as you seek God. Point four. God gives us what we need when we need it. I read from God's Word translation, Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? The eternal God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, doesn't grow tired or become weary. His understanding is beyond reach. He gives strength to those who grow tired and increases the strength of those who are weak. Even young people grow tired and become weary, and young men will stumble and fall. Yet the strength of those that wait with hope in the Lord will be renewed. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and won't become weary. They will walk and won't grow tired. Again, God reiterates over and over in his word that he looks after his own and knows our puny frame. He is most understanding of the difficulties and challenges when we go to him and seek for his help and guidance. And he is extremely quick to come to our aid when we are troubled. Even young people have their own trials. their battles to persevere through whatever they have to handle at a moment's notice or not. Our young people go through so many more things that we have never been through. They're put through all kinds of situations at work, at high school, in college, out of college, wherever, and things happen on the street. Everyone must understand that God will protect and keep from danger as well, and bless you when you diligently work at obeying Him and seek Him constantly. Here's another scripture for young people and for everyone else here. Point 5. We are to seek God all the time, more so when we are especially weak. God's Word translation states in Lamentations 3, 25 through 27. Lamentations is one of those books that we kind of have a tendency to overlook when we read the Bible. And it's extremely important for everyone, including our young people, to read. Chapter 3 is especially important. And I want everyone to read that in their own time. I've specifically pointed out verses 25 through 27. Lamentations 3, 25 through 27. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to anyone who seeks help from Him. It is good to continue to hope and wait silently for the Lord to save us. It is good for people to endure burdens when they are young. We have burdens, all of us, and our young people aren't without them as well. Reading the scriptures greatly puts everything in perfect perspective, as we should have as children of God, heirs in the promises that He gives each and every one of us. We need to continue in this way, the way of life that gives us comfort and great joy, now while we can. Seeking God while we can is a pursuit that we must be constant and as thorough as we possibly can. You need to become relentless in seeking God's loving kindnesses. In humbleness, approach, or manner, He will be your helper in your time of trouble. He's there and waiting for you to intervene. God is extremely aware of you and desires that you seek Him out, commune with Him when you read, study, and meditate on His Word. There are more promises that God gives us to rely on. Now let's go into the New Testament a little bit for some highlights of the promises that wait for us. Point 6, God gives us comfort and is faithful to us. I read in the New American Standard Bible, Matthew 10, verses 16 through 20. Matthew 10, verses 16 through 20. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. Be aware of men, for they will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues. You will even be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them as well as to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, and don't worry about how or what to say, for it will be given you in that hour what you are to say. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks for you. God's Spirit is constantly with us, He will gently guide us and direct us. There are times when we have to answer questions from others in the world that inquire from us an answer as to why or what we believe or why we're so peculiar in what we live by. There is no need to fear or how to answer, since you have God's Spirit within you. You will be able to answer with the hope that lies within you. You will be able to be at peace when you are called upon to give answers, because there are some out there who will seek you out and ask you, why do you do what you do? We need to relax about this situation, these situations around us, the world, the society. Relax about our part and know that God does not look at the way we look at things. God is watching. He's knowing. He understands. He's looking after you. He looks after His very own. That is His children. His children. There have been many that were not well learned in the scriptures or could recall as to where each scripture is, subject matter that it relates to. But they were able to give an answer sufficient to the question asked. That was God's Spirit in them. And there are stories here that could tell each and every one of us about how this situation occurs. God, He's in charge. He looks after us. He guides and directs us when we seek Him continually. We can be very comfortable in this process that God answers our prayers and is there to back us up when necessary. We just need to follow God's lead and go with it as He does gently lead us toward complete peace. I read 2 Corinthians verses 3 through 7. 2 Corinthians 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And I know I got this, I didn't write the complete scripture down, but I'm sure you will pick it up. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us all in our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in affliction and with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded that, knowing as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also are you sharers of our comfort. This is a promise of comfort for us. Christ suffered far more than any of us. He knows us well and is constantly there available to comfort us when we patiently endure the suffering that we have. Just as the Apostle Paul suffered many things through his ministry, we are to also suffer in life. That's our ministry. That's part of our calling. Christ understands us well and is among us all the time. He knows of what we are suffering from and promises comfort through our suffering. We need to believe what he says and not doubt his words. I read 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 3 through 5. And I'm using the New American Standard Version on this. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 3 through 5. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you are doing and continue to do what we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. God is able to protect you from Satan and his demons, and he does. There are times when we have situations when demons harass us, and when this happens, we need to look within ourselves and evaluate what we may be doing wrong, or what our attitude, or what we are allowing in our minds to persist. Self-evaluation is extremely critical in our spiritual development and keeping the mind of God in our human mindset, and not allow its hindrance or growth in us. We are to self-evaluate us constantly. God allows these trials in our lives to test our loyalty within us towards him, and to see what we do to correct ourselves quickly. Point 7. Watch your behavior and stand still. I read from Philippians 1, verse 6. Philippians 1, verse 6. I read from the New American Standard Version. For I am confident, this is Apostle Paul saying this very thing, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it in the day of Christ Jesus. Verses 27 and 28. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, together, for the faith of the gospel, in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, and some complete imprisonment. But for you, salvation, and that too from God. We are to stand still and focus on the government of God, knowing full well of the circumstances around us. Continued obedience and careful meditation upon the kingdom of God brings us forward through the valley of the shadow of death, regardless of the trial that we are going through at this point or the future one ahead of us. The companion scripture to this is 2 John 8. Watch yourselves so that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive full reward. This is both a command and a promise. God, again, is very straightforward and doesn't mince words at all. My last scripture here is Revelation 22, verses 12 through 14. And I read from the International Standard Version. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me to repay everyone according to his behavior. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and the beginning and the end. How blessed are those who wash their robes, and in some translation it states, who do or keep my commandments. Who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates of the city. This is the ultimate promise for each and every one of us here. This is what we are to live for. This is our life. What we go through now doesn't compare at all to the promise that is waiting for each and every one of us. The review of points I've stated prior. Point one, God is peace, and His mind defines peace for us. Point two, obedience to God needs to continue in our lives. Point three, patience is required to wait for God. Point four, God gives us what we need when we need it. Point five, we are to seek God all the time, and more so when we are weak. Point six, God gives comfort and is faithful to us. Point seven, watch your behavior and stand still. We must constantly strive through prayer, Bible study, fasting, and careful meditation on the Word of God to render ourselves worthy of the calling that's been given to each and every one of us, no matter what age. Using these tools will strengthen us to our next challenge that's set before us, to test our character, to test our loyalty. We shouldn't be concerned about the world out there. As I stated before in previous sermonettes, this world is decaying, and it's decaying faster and faster. Your focus is strictly on God, on Christ, on the kingdom, on the government of God. These tools will strengthen us to our next challenges, but these alone cannot help us further our journey towards the kingdom of God. We, as a congregation, must pray for each other and at times be willing to fast for each other to show God that we are deeply sincere in being our brother's keeper. We're here together as a family, as a congregation. We can act like it. We can live it. We can be a family. Our fight, our journey, depends on our willingness to serve both God and humanity in our careful adherence, not only to His many commandments, but to change our mind to the mind of God, which is only through Christ Jesus. The mind of God is of peace and patience, which we learn as children of God and heirs to the kingdom set before us. Do not lose your courage. Read your Bible. Search the scriptures for the promises that God intends to fulfill for you only if you constantly seek Him out. Don't lose your focus on Christ. Be still and steady. I leave with you one quotation. Mr. Armstrong told us many times towards the end of our life, in his voice, "I've read the end of the book, and we win."